This is the WOKV Spotlight on 104.5 WOKV.
9:08 on the Monday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News. A nice, dry, and very pretty start to the day. We're at 78 degrees now in Ponte Vedra, 82 actually in Neptune Beach at this hour. And up and down the coast, we often see every year the nesting of those wonderful loggerhead sea turtles, Florida home to the world's largest population. They're listed as threatened in the U.S. And every year when we do the sea turtle nesting season, you're typically given the things you got to be on the lookout for, and just obviously don't disturb them. We have a number of sea turtle patrols and a lot of dedicated people who give up their time on all sorts of hours of the day, including in the overnight hours as they're venturing into the water. But there's also some really neat programs, and there's actually a brand new collaboration that is just being announced this morning that we wanted to make sure that we spotlighted. Jacksonville University is launching a sea turtle program and expanding its marine conservation. We're joined in studio by Lucas Mears. He's the director of Jacksonville University's sea turtle program. I'll give you the floor. What is the big announcement? What's the big reveal today?
Well, first off, I do want to say happy World Sea Turtle Day today. June 16th is World Sea Turtle Day, but we're here to announce the new partnership between Michler's Landing Turtle Patrol and Jacksonville University to create the Jacksonville University Sea Turtle Program. It's a privately funded program that gets students involved on the beach, data collection, and working in marine turtle conservation, along with a lot of our community volunteers. And so we have a great collaboration of a group of about 50 people that are on the beach every single morning, 200 days during the nesting season, out there collecting data to better understand sea turtles and really engage our community in ways that they can help protect sea turtles.
Because it's already happening on the beach now, what's the reason and why is it so important with this collaboration that JU is now involved in it? How does this help to grow it?
Well, I really want to provide an opportunity for students to really understand a robust data collection, the scientific process, and get involved in environmental conservation. And sea turtles are a fantastic way. We often call them a charismatic megafauna, something that people really love. People really are attracted and attached to sea turtles. And it's a great way to not only empower, but provide experiential learning opportunities for students, but also provide the manpower for our team to go out there on a daily basis collecting data every single morning, 30 minutes before sunrise, to collect data on all of these sea turtles and sea turtle nests.
Sounds like this was a labor of love for you to get off the ground. How did it get off the ground? And kind of what's the vision of the goal, if you will? How will you determine success?
For sure. So I have been doing sea turtle nest monitoring along this beach in Ponte Vedra around Michler's Landing for the past 15 years. I'm a JU alumnus. I graduated in 2012. I started volunteering with Michler's Landing Turtle Patrol right after graduation. And then in 2021, I kind of became the permit holder or the leader of the organization of all of our volunteers. And I was looking for a home for our program. I wanted an academic institution to not only provide leverage, but also provide leverage for our data, but also provide opportunities to give back to the students and provide those opportunities that JU had provided me. And so JU was obviously my first choice as a JU alumnus. It was my home away from home. And I was so excited to pitch this idea to JU. And of course, they jumped at the opportunity. It's privately funded. And so we're just bringing this program to JU, an already fantastic marine science program, to bolster and expand student experience and student opportunities.
How big is the program going to be for students initially? And then what's the future vision, I guess? What do you hope to see?
My vision is to have a lot more students. Right now, we have 6 JU students involved, both bachelor's and master's students. I would love to have a lot more students, a lot more research projects. This year is kind of like getting our footing and kind of figuring out where we can use our expertise, where the student expertise, answering a lot of their questions. They can develop questions. And in future years, we want to develop research projects that not only help us learn more about sea turtles, but also the relationship between our community and sea turtles. I think that's key to understand people's perception, people's interests, people's behaviors, and share with them ways that their decisions and behaviors can affect sea turtles and how they can alter them or shift them to help protect sea turtles.
Do you have room for another student? Because I'm looking at another one who wants to join this program.
Christine wants to join.
I would love to be a student, but also, yeah, definitely a volunteer. Our sea turtles, we know that they're cute and adorable, and, you know, everybody wants to swim with sea turtles and do all that. But how important are they? they to the ecosystem? And do they serve as a barometer of kind of how the ecosystem is
Certainly, doing? Certainly, yes. We do often say that they are canaries in a coal mine to understand the health of our marine ecosystems. So one thing that we're seeing, and this is we're working very closely with the Sea Turtle Hospital at Whitney Lab based out of University of Florida. Any injured sea turtles or any stranded sea turtles we take to them, we're starting to see this new disease, not a new disease, but a disease called fibropapillomatosis, or FP for short, that we're thinking that there's a lot of environmental factors. They're developing these tumors. And so researchers down there are looking to see what's causing this to better understand what this disease is. But they are barometers for the environmental, the ecosystem around us. And so it's incredibly important that we protect them. And by all of our nest monitoring that we're doing on our beach, what our team does is monitoring the nests, is we can gauge an understanding of what their populations are, because we can use fancy formulas and stuff like that based on how many nests we're getting each year to kind of determine how the population is doing.
And how is the population doing both in Florida and throughout the world?
There was just a massive study done a couple of months ago where they looked at the populations of sea turtles throughout the entire world. And a little more than half of the major sea turtle population seem to be stable or increasing. There are certain areas of the world where they are declining based on several threats. But in Florida, they seem to be pretty stable, particularly loggerheads. We seem to be seeing an increase in green sea turtle and leatherback nests the past several years. But loggerheads as a whole are stable and sometimes increasing in certain areas of Florida.
Any advice for people who stumble across a sea turtle on the beach while they're there?
Certainly. If you see an adult female turtle, so this is going to be a big turtle. Loggerhead sea turtles can be about 2 to 3 feet long, a couple of feet wide. If you do see a nesting female sea turtle, try and stay out of her peripheral vision and out of her, don't get too close to her. We usually recommend about 50 feet just because we don't want to disturb her. If a female comes out of the water, she has the intention to lay eggs. And so we don't want to spook her or scare her back into going into the water, because it's very energy costly when she's coming out, because she's a 250, 300 pound turtle. That's pretty much weightless in the water, but when she's coming out of the water and crawling on land, she's using a lot of energy. So we want her to lay eggs undisturbed as best as possible. So just stay about 50 feet away from her and out of her periphery so that she can go about her business and lay her eggs in silence or peace. If you encounter hatchlings, so this is the exciting part for me, if a hatchling emergence happens when the babies are coming out of the sand, we recommend no flash photography. Same thing with adult females, no flash photography, no flashlights on the beach. And just stay out of the path of the hatchlings going to the water, because they're in what we call a frenzy period, where they crawl as fast as they can to get to the water, and we don't want to interrupt that path at all.
And if you see them frenzying the opposite direction, like if somebody has a light on or something and they go the other direction, is it safe for people to pick them up?
We want you to call us to let us know, and then we can provide instruction. It is technically illegal to touch or harass or even help sea turtles. So we would prefer that you call us, and then we can provide instruction based on what the best recommendation we have is.
And keep your pets away.
And keep your pets away, yes.
And when you build sandcastles and holes in the ground, definitely fill them in before you leave.
Correct. We want people to be good beach stewards. So we want the beach to be clean, dark, and flat. Clean because we don't want any trash. If you come to the beach, we want you to take your trash, your chairs, your umbrellas with you. We want it to be clean. Dark because we don't want any flashlights, any cell phone lights, flash photography at night. And flat because we want the holes filled in, the sandcastles knocked down, because we want to remove any barriers or obstacles for females when they're trying to nest or when the hatchlings are trying to get to the water.
If you're just tuning in, this is Lucas Mearsies with Jacksonville University and the Sea Turtle Patrol program, Michler's Landing Turtle Patrol. And this is the launch day on this World Sea Turtle Day of the Sea Turtle program, expanding the work that's already happening in our community. Coming off Father's Day, I got to ask a dad question, because I got a junior in high school. I was just around a bunch of high school kids over the weekend at a rowing competition. They're all looking at their future careers. What kind of a career opportunity is there for these students? What, if you're studying it, if you're in this initial class and you're looking at it, how do you make a career out of this? What's the path and the journey look like?
I've kind of had an interesting, atypical path. I started in fundraising and then marketing and PR, but all along I had been volunteering with this data collection. I have a degree in marine science from Jacksonville University, and I have a master's in biology with a focus on wildlife conservation from Miami University of Ohio. There's the idea and the field of conservation is wide range. You can go into sustainability, whether it's resource conservation. You can go into environmental conservation. There's research opportunities. There's so many conservation NGOs. I think we, because the human population is expanding and development is occurring everywhere, we have to work on protecting these sacred places, natural places as best as we can. And there's a lot of, particularly with development, there's a lot of contract work. We do some environmental monitoring for any beach renourishment projects. We, at least on our stretch of beach, when there is a beach renourishment project, we're the ones in charge of the sea turtles. And so we have to relocate nests if that's necessary. And we're also doing all of the environmental data collection for these contractors that are doing these beach renourishment projects. So it is kind of wide ranging on what you can do in wildlife conservation.
Dream job.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Are you a data nerd, though, Christine? I don't think you're a data nerd.
No, not really. But if it had to do with turtles, I could math my way around it. Yeah.
But the data is so valuable. Mm-hmm. What things might you be looking to learn over the next year? Do you look at, you know, how the coastline continues to get chewed away when we have nor'easters and when we have tropical events and that sort of thing? Is that data that's helpful as
well?
Yes,
absolutely. Any sort of data that we measure where the nests are. If anyone sees us on the beach, I always welcome you to come up and talk to us. We're very engaging. I love to explain the process, what the female turtle did while she was nesting, and the types of data that we're collecting. We take a lot of measurements on where the nest location is. And then a lot of this data goes to influence beach renourishment projects. So when they can and can't do beach renourishment projects, when are we in the peak nesting season, which is peak nesting right now? So there generally won't be any beach renourishment projects, at least in our area, in late June, early July. And then we're also going to be doing, in the upcoming months, a sand temperature nest monitoring. And so we're going to be taking temperatures of the sand, because with climate change, what we're concerned about is increasing nest temperatures. And so sea turtles are, their sex is temperature dependent. So hot chicks, cool dudes. The hotter the temperature the nest incubates at, the more females that nest will produce. The cooler the temperature the nest incubates at, the more males that will produce.
Sounds and there about were some, right.
Yeah. There, that's how we make it easy to remember. Hot chicks, cool dudes. So there were some studies in South Florida. There were isolated studies down there that are where they sexed the turtles, and they found 99% female. So there's a lot of concern with increasing incubation temperatures. We're on our beach, we're even seeing a shorter incubation duration. Average for loggerheads is about 55-day incubation, so right at 2 months. Last year, our average incubation was 51 days, so it was a 4-day drop. So that's a pretty significant drop over 2 months in just 1 year. But we're monitoring that from year to year just to kind of look and see, are temperatures, is that something that we need to be concerned about? Are there enough males that are breeding with females offshore? Or we're just trying to better understand the breeding sex ratio with that.
Hmm. Does the shorter incubation period translate into fewer hatchlings?
Not necessarily, but it generally translates into more females.
Okay.
Because not only is their sex temperature dependent, but also the length of the incubation is temperature dependent. So if it's hotter and we don't have much rain,
they want to get out of there.
Yeah, exactly. The incubation is much shorter. It's hotter. It's much shorter. And so there's more females. Longer incubation means it was cooler. We had more rain. And so that's generally going to produce more males.
How do you guys tell? This will be my last question. I'm sorry. I'm so nerding out. How do you tell where the nests are? Because that always amazes me, because I'll walk the beach one night and then the next day I'll see, you know, poles where designating that this is a sea turtle nest, and it's very challenging to see. I mean, I know you can see sometimes the path that the mama makes, but not always.
Every time a female sea turtle comes out of the water, she has the intention to nest. Whether that results in eggs or not is what we as a team determine. And so when we walk 30 minutes before sunrise, we have to be out there before people walk all over the tracks. Also, it's just hot in Florida. And there's it's wonderful. Well, and you get a fantastic sunrise because you get to watch the sunrise on the beach. Even if we don't get any activity, it's a beautiful sunrise.
Yet another reason.
The sun provides, the angle of the sun provides shadow. So it's easy for us to read the crawl. So we follow the tracks from the waterline all the way up to the dune or wherever the nest is. And every female goes through a very specific set of behaviors while she's laying eggs. And so it's kind of like CSI. We can read the signs in the sand, the patterns that she left behind. We can tell the species of turtle, based on the track pattern, because each turtle moves in a slightly different way. And we can determine if there's eggs there or if it's what we call a false crawl, where for some reason, whether she encountered people with flashlights, a dog, or even if the sand consistency isn't right, she ultimately decides to abandon that nesting attempt and she goes back to the water and doesn't lay eggs. And so it's kind of like crime scene investigation. We read the crawls in the sand and determine if there's eggs there or not, and then we take all of our data.
I feel like I'm getting my minor in sea turtles.
I know, I'm going to get right in so now. Much trouble for spending so much time on sea turtles this morning, but I don't care.
Well, I think it's really fascinating.
It's a fun story. It's a good story.
And everyone loves sea turtles.
Yeah. Well, and everyone walks the beach. Everyone has been to the beach. And, you know, you often see these things and you do wonder, like you come across them, what is the right action to do? Or you see you all in your blue shirts and people saying it's Micklers, not Micklers. It's Micklers crying out loud. Why is it Micklers?
It's a last name. I've actually never met the Mikler family. I am a transplant. That's usually how we can tell if you're a transplant or a native, based on how you pronounce Micklers.
Do you often get that question as you're walking?
We get it all the time. And every time, every summer, there's always a new story about the pronunciation of
Micklers.
And
the signs that line Roscoe Boulevard and getting out to Micklers Landing. It's great. Yep. Lucas, thanks for coming in. This has been fascinating. And it is a first now. Jacksonville University launching the Sea Turtle Program and expanding marine conservation. Lucas Mears, we'll have you back and also get some great photos of some beautiful little sea turtles.
Come out on the beach. Yeah.
We look forward to it.
We'll give an update at the end of the season. How many we have.
We will absolutely look forward to that. It's 9:24 on Jacksonville's Morning News.